and the court will move to the next case of the day. That case is number 043358, the United States against Hawkins. Mr. Stern.
Good morning, judges. May it please the court.
My name is Mr. Stern. Let's give the court room a minute to clear out here, okay? Thank you for waiting, Mr. Stern. I think we can proceed.
Please, the court. My name is Patrick Stern. I'm actually the attorney for the appellant, Monique Hawkins. And when I came in here to sign up, there's also an additional attorney, Jesse Coleman, who represents Gerald Hawkins. For some reason, isn't here today, and he wasn't on the list of attorneys. So the bailiffs asked me to address that with the court first. But I'm actually the attorney for Monique Hawkins, but they were co-defendants. They were tried together. The brief, as per your orders, were submitted together. And issue number three, which I think is the most significant of the three issues, relates to, and the disposition, I think, relates to both of them. So,
well, you could argue on behalf of your client.
On behalf of Monique Hawkins, I think that the I think what happened at this case involved, it was a mail fraud case that was decided when the trilogy after Appendi versus New Jersey came down, but before, while Booker and Blakely were still pending. And I think there's no doubt that what Judge McKinney did was absolutely wrong in the sentence. I've never seen that type of sentence handed down since 86 when the guidelines came into play. What he did was standard mail fraud carries a guidelines calculation of a level 6. And what you do is you go from that level 6 and you work your way up. What Judge McKinney did in Monique Hawkins is he took the 6 and multiplied it by the 4 counts he was found guilty and came up with a level 24, which is completely uncalled for, because what he did was he took the number of counts, multiplied it by the guideline, and came up with a 24 and said, well, that's close enough to the 22. I'm going to sentence you on the bottom of the 24, which is right at the top of the because he couldn't impute any money on the fraud, because when Blakely came down, which you should have known before because of Appendi coming down, says you, if you have an issue that's triable to the jury that relates to the sentence, the jury has to determine it. So with no ability to determine any amount of money involved, what he took, which what I believe is a misdemeanor, because of the amount, without the amount of money, all you have is a misdemeanor. You have a 0 to 6 month range if you just commit simple mail fraud. It carries a presumptive sentence of between a 0 to 6 under the guidelines, a level 6. Now, the old determination of whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor is, if the judge can give you more than a year and a day, it's a felony. In this case, it's our position that the most that Judge McKinney could have given Monique Hawkins would have been 6 months in federal prison, assuming that he would have reasons for going to the high end of the guideline. In this case, what he did was he just took the 6, multiplied it by 4, but when you look at the sentencing order, he ran all 4 counts concurrent, which normally drug cases and money cases, you just aggregate the amount of harm and you go up and down on the guidelines. In this case, what he did was he just took a 6, a level 6 where it should have been under the guidelines, multiplied it by 4 by the number of counts, which gives you to 24. Had she been found guilty of the 2 other counts, she would have got a level 36. And when you look at Gerald Hawkins, he had 22 counts times 6. His guidelines were probably twice what Timmy McVeigh's guidelines would have been. I mean, he would have had the highest guideline calculation in the history of the United States. He would have come up at 123, and I think the table only goes to a third of that. I think that the government admits error in this. I think the only thing that this court probably needs the determination is when you send it back to Judge McKinney. I think that rather than sending it back to say, well, would you give him the same sentence had you have had an opportunity, because the guidelines, I think that the matter should be referred back to Judge McKinney with specific instructions on how to sentence Ms. Hawkins. And I think the specific instructions would be to look at the crime. Mail fraud carries a guideline range, a level 6. and to specifically instruct her to, even if he maxes her out at a level 6, the most he can give her is 6 months in order to release from federal custody.
Mr. Stern, I'm going to take you somewhere else because I'm going to ask you if you want to withdraw the ineffective assistance claims.
Yes, I believe that. I think that the government is correct in their argument that it has to be taken back on a habeas to expand the record for and to put additional evidence to give counsel trial counsel, which wasn't me, an opportunity to testify, and also for Ms. Hawkins to testify as to whether the Rock versus Arkansas claim of not allowing her to testify, I think that needs an expanded record. So I believe that I would have to withdraw issue number one.
Okay, well, withdrawn. But as an aside, I was just wondering, did the district court engage in a colloquy with her about her right to testify on her own behalf?
I don't recall. I don't think that they did.
Huh.
I could be mistaken from... And if I am mistaken, I would stand corrected. I just don't recall.
Okay.
Isn't it pretty clear that if we were to send your client's case back to the district court, he'd impose the same sentence?
I would hope not, Your Honor, being honest with me. Or being honest with you, I would hope not. And in fact, I would, if this was just a simple case, if you look at the aggravators and the mitigators, she should have never been given a 51-month sentence to begin with, given the fact that a first offense, money crime, this would be something in a state court, you'd, I guess, as they call it, a mercy plea, Your Honor, you just throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Is she in prison?
Yeah, she's in prison. She received a 51-month
sentence. And she's not out on bond?
No, Your Honor, she's not. She's been sitting in prison. She was allowed to report to...
How long has she been in prison?
She's been in prison since... since October. So she's been in about 7 months. So it's my position that she has time served. I guess, Your Honor, if you say, yeah, well, he could say, yeah, I'd give her the same sentence even though I was looking at the guidelines. I think that would have been a manifestly unjust sentence to give somebody who has a 15-year-old kid who's never committed any offense in her life prior to this, absolutely no criminal history, to give her a 51-month sentence on that. I mean, he could do that, and he said, yeah, I would, but that doesn't make it right, Your Honor. And if I was representing her in a state court, I would advise her to plead open to the court and look at the statute, what we consider as mitigating and aggravating factors.
Would it be a legal sentence?
Yes, it would be. And the reason I think that is I think that all you've committed here is a misdemeanor, Your Honor.
No, I think you misunderstood the question.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I believe Judge Ripple asked you if it would be a legal sentence.
No, it wouldn't be a legal sentence. It wouldn't be a legal sentence at all. I think we'd be right back here making the argument that it wouldn't be a legal sentence.
Why isn't it a legal sentence?
Because I think all she committed was a misdemeanor, Your Honor. I think the other thing is, and even if you believe I'm incorrect, if I represented a client who I have before that have stole food stamps, a postman who sold food stamps out of the mail and sold $52 worth of food stamps, he would be sentenced to, at the most the judge could give him would be 6 months in jail. In this case, the court should have been aware after the Apprendi decision came down in 2000 that there should have been a specific jury instruction to determine the amount of money involved. And I've never seen a client that really wanted to take those issues before a district court. And I say that respectfully, that they'd rather make that determination to a jury. And I think in drug cases, what the courts then do is they find your client guilty of dealing cocaine over so many kilograms, so many ounces, dealing marijuana over 10 kilograms, which triggers the 5-year mandatory minimum. They also find your client guilty of dealing in cocaine over 1,000 kilograms, which triggers the 10-year minimum. And then the one merges into the other. Now, they could come back and find your client guilty of dealing in one amount, but in this case, they never asked the jury to determine money, so we don't know what the monetary harm would be. So if the monetary harm was a very small amount, her sentencing range would have been nowhere near 51 months. I think what we need to do at this point in time is the court can never come back and determine the money, so there is no money. With no money, all we have is a sentencing range under the guidelines of 0 to 6.
Are you saying that if a court can't determine the money, there is no money, even if they're
I think
millions?
They're not going to make that mistake again, Your Honor. As we say, they won't get fooled again. And I think what's going to happen, though, in these money cases is I think the judge is going to file specific requests to the jury for the jury to determine money involved. Just as if you have a drug case, you'd ask the jury to determine how much marijuana or cocaine is triggered. And I think Appendi was clear about that. If it affects sentencing, I see my time has run up.
You have a minute to go. Okay. But it is your rebuttal time. You will eat into your rebuttal time.
Why don't I would ask if I just save my rebuttal time, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We'll hear now from Ms. Hyde.
Good morning, Your Honors. Donna Idy for the United States. The sentencing guideline calculation before Booker and Blakely in this case as regards Monique Hawkins was based on a loss of about $500,000. There was no objection to the pre-sentence report at the sentencing, and the guideline range pre-Booker Blakely would have been 41 to 51 months, offense level 22. Of course, Judge McKinney did something completely different. He committed error, but it's no different than any of the other errors that were committed in light of Booker and Blakely. It's not a structural error.
No, but can you imagine a more arbitrary scheme?
Well, actually, I don't think it is, because what Judge McKinney was trying to do, I believe, is to keep the guidelines in a severable way. So the base offense level without any increase was the 6 months.
But let's take a look at Mr. Hawkins. I mean, how could that be called reasonable under any definition? In one case, he multiplies by the number of counts. The other case, he realizes he'll end up with an offense level of 138 if he does that. So he makes up another multiplier. I mean, it's really arbitrary.
Well, the method of calculating was a little unusual, but the rationale for the sentence was, I think, consistent with 3553, which was to find a sentence that was proportional. There were 18 other defendants in this case.
That was totally by accident, though.
Well, I don't think it was by accident. I think he was result-oriented here. I think he was trying to get to a sentence that he thought was reasonable and consistent with.
At any point, did the district court actually compute her guideline sentence?
Not in the traditional way that we had done before Blakely. He did ask if there were any objections to the pre-sentence report, which had done the calculation, and there were none. So I think the assumption was that's what the guideline calculation would be, except for the fact that we have...
He never acknowledged it, though, explicitly during the sentencing hearing.
I think he did with regard to Monique Hawkins. I think there's a place in there that he says, you understand that the guideline calculation would be offense level 22, which is what the guideline, the pre-sentence report had calculated it to be. And then he said, but we can't do it that way because we have this Blakely issue.
No, because under our post-Booker cases, it's pretty clear that the district court does have to correctly calculate the sentencing guideline sentence. So if you didn't do that and have used that as some kind of a point of reference,
this was a very unusual sentencing hearing, but it was it's my belief based on what happened. Monique Hawkins was sentenced first, and then Gerard was sentenced. Mm-hmm. In the first one, the judge started out, and he said, now everybody knows that we have the pre-sentence report. Are there any objections to the pre-sentence report? You understand the guideline calculation based on the pre-sentence report is 22, offense level 22. So he didn't specifically say, I find pre-Blakely that would be the guideline thing. But I think it was implicit through everybody understood that that's what it would be, except for we have these new rules.
Did the government object when he decided that criminal history category 2 overstated Gerald's criminal history?
We did, but we didn't pursue it on appeal, but yes, we did object at the time.
You did.
And our position was it was accurately calculated. And there was a discussion on Gerard's about his pre-sentence report about the criminal history. So there was some discussion about the pre-sentence report. The only objection registered there was his criminal history category. But there isn't anything specifically stating that if we were under the old regime, I would find the guideline calculation to be consistent with what the pre-sentence report finds it. But the problem is that was never the issue. The only issue raised by the defendants was you can't do anything other than sentence him to 6 months because that's the only base offense level that's not increased by facts. So nobody ever brought up the pre-Blakely sentencing guide calculation. There was never any objection to any of the facts in the pre-sentence report upon which the calculation was based. So if we went back down, we're going to have the pre-sentence report, all objections to it waived, and then I guess the judge could say the pre-sentence report is what I would find the calculation to be, but for all the Booker-Blakely thing. But the court made clear, I think the court may be troubled that the error here is different from the errors that we've seen after Blakely. The error here was something a little different. The typical error is that the judge believed, you know, the guidelines were mandatory when now they're discretionary, or the judge increased it. But it's not a structural error. It's an error. And it's a plain error, but
yeah.
But the judge made clear in very many places that if the guidelines were declared to be unconstitutional, which they now are, I would impose the same sentence. He says that specifically in both cases twice. Now,
am I correct that the starting point would be for Monique an offense level of 22, criminal history of 1.
Yes, and that's 41 to 51 months.
And for Gerald, 24, criminal history 1.
Right. So it's actually Gerard is his name. But
and that's because you didn't counter appeal.
Yeah.
On the category 2.
Right. So his Monique Hawkins sentence, as it turns out, is the high end of the guidelines that were calculated in the pre-sentence report, 41 to 51 months. She got 51 months. Now, the judge went a different way to get there, but he ended up giving her the high end of what the pre-sentence report guidelines were. Gerard Hawkins' guideline range was, I think, 3 levels higher, or the high end of 2 levels. So it would have been, under the old regime, a 2-level upward departure.
That's what I was wondering.
But it's clear, I think the record is very clear, that the judge was taking into account all of the other defendants he had seen. He even mentioned 2 that he thought were worse, Mr. Neely and Mr. Daly, both of whom pled guilty. And he was trying to fashion a sentence that met that proportionality. And that's exactly what Booker tells the judges to do, is to try to be consistent.
Do you remember if Judge McKinney engaged in a colloquy with Monique regarding her right to testify on her own behalf?
I was trial counsel. I do not believe he did. There was never any issue raised about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've not seen a case where that didn't happen. But maybe that's...
pretty sure it didn't come up.
Huh.
But... I think if we look at that this case under the way we're supposed to on plain error, was there plain error? Yes. Is the record clear that regardless of how the sentence is calculated...
I thought the error, excuse me for interrupting, was preserved here, so it's not plain
it
error.
It is. You're right. It's error. But the question then is it harmless, and is it harmless beyond a reasonable doubt? That's the analysis. I apologize. You're right. It's not.
And it's your burden.
Yes. And we met that burden because the judge said in 2 places for both defendants, I would impose the same sentence if the guidelines were declared to be unconstitutional.
But post-Booker, the defendant is still entitled to a correct guidelines calculation, which neither defendant got in this case because of this arbitrary and sort of mathematical approach.
Well, I don't think it was arbitrary. I think it was result-oriented. But there we were in Never Never Land on what we do next. So the judge is trying a new way, and he's trying to figure out a way to make the guidelines mandatory and still have some rationale to it.
Yeah, I mean, the district judges, my goodness. I don't know, you know, what I would have done down there.
Yeah,
they were, you know, just, you're right, Never Never
Yeah,
land.
I mean, you just don't know what the rules are, and you're trying to figure out a way, try to predict what happened. But... I think we have to look at it in terms of a reasonable sentence. It's a reasonable sentence for both of them. Monique, it's within the guideline range as calculated in the pre-sentence report and I think implicitly adopted. And Gerard Hawkins is a little higher, but certainly under the new Booker rules, the judge is going to have the discretion to do that, or worse for Mr. Hawkins. So I'm not sure if he wants to go back down to see Judge McKinney again, because there won't be any constraints that I think he thought he was under. So I would ask the court to affirm the sentence. I think it's reasonable. And although it was error, I think the record is clear beyond a reasonable doubt that the sentence would be the same if it were remanded. Bless you. Bless you. So if there are no other questions.
Apparently not, Ms. Heidi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much more time does the counsel have? 1 minute, please, sir.
Thank you very much. Just briefly, I believe your comment about the being arbitrary, I think it's not only arbitrary, but it's capricious in a sentence as far as that. And I think the only way you can get a 22-month calculation of the guidelines is attribute $504,000 of loss to Monique Hawkins, which I don't think you can do, because after you read Apprendi and you read Booker and Blakely.
Wasn't this a conspiracy?
I don't know whether she was found not guilty in one count, and they hung on a fourth count. They still have a determination of the actual amount of loss involved. The jury still has to determine that. Just because you entered a conspiracy and all this happens, there's still loss is a tough thing. Just because you go in and you buy a judicial robe for $100 and the sleeve rips off doesn't mean your loss is $100. If that makes sense.
What, $75?
It could be, but then that makes a difference on the guidelines, because the more of your loss, the higher it kicks you up. And it's my position is, since the government didn't prove any loss and they didn't ask the jury to determine it, she can't be sentenced, so her sentence should just be at the level 6 and you can't go up to the 22. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Stern. Mr. Stern, I believe you were appointed in this case, were you not?
Partially. The original attorney was appointed, and then we filed in form of papyrus to get the transcript because of all the costs were just too much for the family.
Well, in any event, the court does thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you.
Indeed, our thanks to both counsel in the case. And the case will be taken under advisement.